All right, Colossians chapter number 1. We'll go ahead and turn there. And as you're turning there, it is so encouraging to be around believers in Christ. As you see the world unfolding out of fear, there is a constant peace in a believer. Isn't that awesome? We have nothing to worry about. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. Nothing to be afraid of. And I really enjoy what's happening that God's allowing in this sense. Because we prepare for this. This is what Christians prepare for. As these circumstances that God allows to happen to show people what a peaceful God looks like. We're ambassadors for Christ. We show stability. We show that, yeah, you know, when things happen to us that we don't like, we can still move forward. I was looking at it in the context this last week of, this is all free, it has nothing to do with today's lesson, but when there was persecution in the book of Acts, let's say that that was their virus. They're getting killed. We're speaking about a man. They're being killed for believing in Jesus Christ. All the authors that you have in the New Testament, they never say one time, quarantine yourselves. They never say one time, don't have fellowships. Don't gather together. In fact, it's the opposite. Hebrews says to gather together more and more as you see the day approaching. Isn't that interesting? In the book of Acts, as persecution is happening, they're being killed. Paul and Peter and James and the other authors are saying, hey, you guys need to stick together. And you guys keep doing what you know what to do. So when I look at that, I look back at like the Dark Ages when Catholics were killing born-again Christians. The plague was going around. They still met together. They were still encouraged. That is just one attribute, peace, one attribute that a Christian has during a tough life circumstance. And that's why we see over and over and over, not to allow the world system, Dennis talked about this morning, not allowing the world system to influence our culture and our church. Worst case scenario, this isn't even bad. There's only a handful of cases, right? Two handfuls of this virus. We've had one death. It's bad, don't get me wrong. But to a believer, the worst that's going to happen to me is I'm going to heaven. Maybe sooner than I had planned. Darn. If heaven is as half as good as I think it is, half, I'm okay with going today. I'm okay with going today. Obviously, we'll use common sense. Amen. But as we use common sense and as we read our Bibles, a circumstance is allowing to come our way, that's fear. And we have, so we prepare for, so we train for, as a disciple in Christ, we can show calm, peace. We can show the fruit of the Spirit. That's really cool. All right, so we'll get to our lesson today. Colossians chapter number 1, and we'll look at verse number 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ who are at Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 3, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. of which you have already heard in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you as it has in all the world, and brings forth fruit, as it has also in you, since the day you heard it and knew the grace of God and truth. And you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ for you, who has also declared to us your love in the Spirit. Now, I have usually always used Colossians chapter number 1 as my go-to to prove Jesus Christ is God. You're not going to see a clear picture of the deity of Christ, which we believe. Okay, that's, again, I've said it a lot. Our line is on Jesus. Everyone believes in a God or some kind of God. But when it comes to Jesus, we have to agree that he is God. And that's where there's a lot of people that don't agree, is their stance on who Jesus Christ is. We believe that he is God in the flesh. So I always go to Colossians 1 to prove that. Now there's some interesting truths that I know, but I haven't actually connected them to salvation as us having it in Colossians 1. So as I'm reading it, it's really cool to see that we obtain these things and we have these things on the greatness of what salvation brings. I'll read down to verse, 14, and then I'll go over today's lesson. I'm at verse number 9, correct? All right, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, pleasing to all, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, enduring everything with perseverance and patience joyfully, giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled us to be partakers in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and has transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Now, it goes on to prove that Jesus Christ is God. Christ is the creator of the heavens and the earth. It's proving Christ is creator throughout chapter 1. And we're just going to go in these first 14 chapters here of some great things of salvation. Now, obviously, it's not all. Obviously, we're just barely even scratching the surface. I just find it kind of interesting that there's so much packed into 14 verses. So, we see, I'm just going to go ahead and get right into it. Hassan, you ready? All right, I got 21. I have 21. Now, this is just according to the first 14 chapters of Colossians chapter 1. We're not going to get into Colossians 3, where it says we have the nature of Christ. We have a new nature. You don't have two natures. You have one. You're either unsaved or you're saved. Right? When you accept Christ, you, boom, get a new nature. That's what Colossians 3 tells us. The first thing that I see here that we have is the hope of heaven. So when we accept Christ as our Savior, one thing we have to look forward now is the hope of heaven. Isn't that awesome? You're going to see three instances in 14 verses of a great thing of salvation is heaven's your home. Heaven's your home. Heaven's your home. There's a song, "This world is not my home. I'm just passing through." I gotta sing it. Hold on. "This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Angels beckon me from heaven's open door." Thank you. So, we're just passing through this society, this world, right? Now, I believe we'll come back after, it gets burned, and it's all land, and, we went through Revelation last year. But, nonetheless, we have a hope of heaven. We see that here. In verse number 4, Paul says, "For we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all saints because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you have already heard in the word of truth of the gospel." So the gospel, when I hear the gospel, which 1 Corinthians 15 tells us, the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. When I hear that and I accept that, I am instantaneously heaven bound. And that is the hope I have to look forward to. I'm looking forward to my home in heaven. Now, we just bought a new home, and I love our home in Oakland. Now, that is the most homiest home we've had. It is, I mean, as far as a home on earth, I don't know that we can beat it. The environment, where we're set up, where we're at, it's perfect. Only one other home, my permanent home, is better. And that's what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to this home, absolutely. But there's one more home that I'm looking forward to even more. That's my inheritance there in heaven. Let's go on down here. The second thing we see, number 2, the greatness of salvation, is it causes others to give thanks to God. It causes others to give thanks to God. When we hear of someone getting saved, a response, and you might not even, it might be subconscious to you, you praise God, right? Like, thank God. Praise the Lord, someone got saved. Amen. Salvation, hearing someone get saved, should never get dull to our ears, especially in this county when it's rare. Not for lack of trying, but it's just a hard area. Y'all, you guys have lived here longer than we have. You know what I'm talking about. So when it does happen, we rejoice the more. You know, John in Africa, he's seen people saved every week. That's just how that culture is right now. It was like that one time here. Not now. No, we don't give up and quit. We keep giving the gospel, absolutely. But when we hear someone getting saved, A great part of salvation in us is that we rejoice when someone else gets saved, no matter where they're at. Man, that's exciting to me. So Paul did not go to Colossae and start this church. Epaphras did. He was in Ephesus, heard the truth, got saved, took that truth to Colossae, where he is from, preached, and people got saved because of Epaphras. Next thing I see here is, moving on down. I might get this out of order, but that's okay. Number 3, it causes a love for other saints. Salvation in me causes a love for other saints. There are people that we love that we haven't even met. Isn't that awesome? We love them in the Lord. We haven't even met them. When we meet someone, talk about the Lord, there's that direct connection, right? We overlook personality. We overlook their background. We overlook where they're from. We overlook how they were raised. Work, the Christ in me is connected to the Christ in you. And there is an instantaneous brotherly and sisterly love that we have that no one else has. No one else has that. All right, number 4, it causes a love in the Spirit. Maybe what we'll do is we'll do like 10 and 10, 10 and 11, so you can write bigger. Can you read that, Bob? Yeah? Okay. Did you just lie? No, I'm just kidding. That's true. It causes a love in the Spirit. Now, there are times when I'm just out and about meditating on God and a love fills my heart. You know what I'm talking about. There are times when I'm focused on the Lord, I'm focused on the ministry, I'm focused just on pleasing God, that a love fills my heart, a love in the Spirit. And it motivates me It motivates me to continue on. I'm getting ahead of myself, to endure for the Lord, because I can feel his love in me. That's what happens when I meditate on the Lord, when I read his word, when I focus on him. A love in the Spirit. A love in the Spirit for each other. When I'm focused on my purpose to glorify the Lord, when I'm focused on my gift, when I'm focused on why I'm here, when I'm focused on how it can be used to others, there is a love that connects to each other. See how that works? Isn't that amazing? That's why I think people they're unlearned. Nothing bad, there's not learned yet, when they say, "Oh, I don't need church. I don't need to go to church." Well, it's not the fact that you need to go to a building, it's what happens in that building. If it wasn't needed, God would not have said everyone's been given a gift to come together as Christ is the head to edify each other. There would have been no purpose to that. Right? There would be no reason. Yeah, you don't need this building, absolutely. But you need the believers in the building. Right? There's that love in the Spirit. Number five, it causes others to pray. Paul prayed for them. Never met them. Was never around them. But a great attribute of salvation is it causes others to pray for other Christians. How many times have you guys come to me and said, "Hey, can you pray for so-and-so?" I've never met them. I don't know your family members or your friends or who you want to pray about, but I'm going to pray for them. Absolutely. It causes that connection to want to pray. One of the most underrated and where we get the most power from is prayer. I'm taking time to connect with God. I'm taking that time. Having that life of prayer. Number six is it brings, this is a big one. You ready, Addison? It brings the ability to have spiritual knowledge. It brings the ability to have spiritual knowledge of God's will, wisdom, and spiritual understanding. To have knowledge of God's will, wisdom. You can go over here too. That's fine. You can keep coming. Yep. Brings the ability to have spiritual knowledge of God's will, wisdom, and spiritual understanding. When I get saved, I have the ability to know what God has planned for me. I can understand God's will. As I grow in the Lord, I'm going to notice, I'm going to question less and less, why am I here? What's my purpose? As I dig in the truth of God's word, and as I focus on the Lord, he will reveal to me what it is that he has for me in my day-to-day life. Okay, he'll reveal to me his wisdom. James tells us that God has given anyone, did you get it all? To bring the ability, okay, ability, to have spiritual, okay, in. That's okay, don't worry about that. Spiritual knowledge of God's will. It's a lot of pressure being up here, huh? Knowledge of God's will, wisdom, and spiritual understanding. It's okay. So we have that ability. So when someone says, "I don't understand," thank God you can understand. You can understand. A lot of times, in our analogies, we can kind of give a false, not pretense, but a false misunderstanding of God. We'll say, "Well, man in his finite mind." Yeah, that's true. We have God's Spirit in us. God's Spirit teaches us, not man's finite mind. And our limited understanding, true, in a intellectual sense. But it's spiritual, right? So God supersedes the laws of physics for man and says, "I will give you everything you want to know, because in salvation you have the ability to know God's will, wisdom, and spiritual understanding. Taking this and going, okay, I know what this means. I know how to apply it. I know how to live it out. I know. If it were not true, Paul would not be wasting his time praying for them to receive something they cannot attain. He wouldn't do that. Number 7. I'll probably read some scripture here just so we get caught up. Let's see. We'll go to verse number 9 before we go to number 7. Verse number 9, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Here's number 7. That you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. So you have the ability to walk worthy of the Lord. That's what salvation brings. You see, outside of salvation, you are at enmity with Christ. You cannot walk worthy of the Lord. Romans tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yep, walk worthy of the Lord. Yep. Why? Because of who's in you. That's why. When I receive Christ, ding dong, I receive Christ. That's how I'm allowed to live out a Christ-centered life for the Lord. So it's Christ in me. Romans chapter 6, I yield to Christ's life. I yield to what God has for me in Christ to live out of me. That's how I'm able to do it. I am able, in salvation, to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. No more will I'm always going to sin. You don't have to. That's a choice. Now, will you? Yes, you will. But don't say that to set yourself up for not allowing the Lord to live through you. Don't ease your conscience to sin, Romans chapter 6. Because, well, I always sin. But you don't have to. We have the ability to walk in a manner. Walk in a manner. Yep. Good job. In a manner worthy of the Lord. Keep on going forward there in verse number 10. That you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Next one. Pleasing to all. Pleasing. You have the ability to be pleasing to all. Now, as I live out my life pleasing to all, it might not come back pleasing to you. They might hate the one who's pleasant in you. Christ told his disciples, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. They're going to hate you because they hate me. They had not known the Father. So I can be pleasing to all. That does not mean that they're going to be pleasing back. Do I stop being pleasing to all because I don't get what I think I deserve? I don't stop. I can control me. Look at Stephen in Acts chapter 7. He was being pleasing to the Jews and they killed him. They killed him. He was ordained by the ministry, and he got killed. Next chapter. For being pleasing. For being kind. Because it's a Christ in them that they didn't like. All right, number next. I think we're on number 9. Right? Okay, let's see. Pleasing to all, being fruitful in every good work. We have the ability. The greatness of salvation brings the ability to be fruitful in every good work. You might not see the fruit. We have the fruit of the Spirit, which should be seen. We have the fruit of good works. We have the fruit of sacrifice. We have the fruit of people being saved. Now, you might not always see that. When I witness to someone, explain to them the death, burial, and resurrection, and I say, hey, if God were to save you right now, would you let him? At that moment, sometimes, most of the time in this county, they're saying, no, I'm okay. But that doesn't mean that night they get saved. That doesn't mean the next day or the next time someone talks to them that they get saved. I might not see the fruit. I don't know this for a fact, but I'm pretty sure the two girls that came to our house for a Bible club, Bible time, that's what CEF does, in our house, we had all the neighborhood kids come together in the summer of 1992. As a 9-year-old boy, I remember facing my bedroom door, accepting Christ as my Savior. Those two girls that came and sacrificed their week of summer to come teach a bunch of crazy kids, because our neighborhood was, I was one of them. Those two girls, I don't believe they know I'm a pastor. I have been fortunate by the grace of God to see hundreds of people saved. Only because I put myself in positions to see people saved. Prison ministry, knocking on doors, camp outlook, a boys, a 3-month program, like a boot camp system. I've seen hundreds of people saved. I believe it's going to go on their account also. They didn't see the fruit come in me. They saw me saved. But they have no idea what I'm doing now. They'll know one day. How cool, right? How cool. I have no idea if someone I witnessed to and got saved is doing what I'm doing now. Or better. Isn't that cool to think about? Just a possibility. Really neat. Brings fruit. All right. Number 9, the ability to increase in the knowledge of God. We've seen that twice now. Ability to increase in the knowledge of God. When we see something over and over, that's a good sign. Once is fantastic. Twice, it's diabolical. That's awesome. When I see something more and more, when I start seeing a theme in Scripture, it's opening up my eyes, okay? It's like a headlight being flashed at me. Hey, pay attention. Salvation in me, second time now, with the knowledge of God being there. God wants me to know Him. God wants me to know who He is, what He is, how He is, why He is, His attributes, His purposes. What I receive in the knowledge of God. Good job. Number 10, we'll go ahead and read on down here. Verse 11, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. I have the ability to be strengthened in God's might. I'm strengthened, just put strengthened by God's power. There we go. Strengthened by God's power. Now listen to that for a second. You are strengthened by whose power? Not self. God's power. Not your college degree. Not your career. God's power. If I am strengthened by God's power, what do I have to be afraid of? Nothing. Now it's interesting because many times God will allow you to be in a position that's uncomfortable in a circumstance to where all you have to rely on is God's power. We've all been there. I just start with Bob, work our way all the way around. And say, I can't do it. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it. I'm at my wit's end. But I am being sustained because I am in constant communication with God. God, I am in need of You every second, every day, right now. I just need You. And we see God carry us through that, right? We've all been there. Strengthened by God's power. Next one we have, we'll keep on reading. Strengthened with a glorious power, enduring everything. You can endure. You can endure. You can go through it for a long period of time. You have the ability. If you're relying on Him, you can endure. Long suffering for a long time. Endurance. Having endurance. I'm not a fast runner. but I can run for a long time. That's endurance. I'm not fast, but I can jog somewhere. I can jog 5 miles. I can't sprint that, but I can endure. You can have patience with joy. Good. Patience, listen to that, with joy. The greatness of salvation brings into me the ability to have patience with joy. Now, in society, unsaved people don't like being patient. Why? Because it's self. They're feeding themselves. When you feed yourself, you want it now. A Christian should not be showing the same attributes as an unsaved person. A Christian should show, I'm being patient. And I'm enjoying it. Because I know for a fact that when I see it or when I get it or don't get it or whatever it is exactly what God has for me. And I am exactly okay with exactly what God has for me. I'm okay with it. Even if it's not what I want. As I mature in Christ, I think less and less of getting what I want and more on God. What do you have for me? Because I've realized by now what you have for me is better than what I want. So I'm going to start shifting my thought process from getting what I want to now, what do you have for me? And it'll come in different packages, won't it? It'll come in different ways. And you'll think, it's not what I had in mind, but I know it's from you. I prayed for this. You got it. Let's see. Another theme here, number 14, I think we're on, is we are partakers of the inheritance with the saints in light. I'm going to fly through the rest, okay? I'm going to sum it all up. Partakers, you don't have to write these down, Aspen, it's okay. We are delivered from the power of darkness. We are transferred into his kingdom. We have redemption through Christ and his blood. We have the forgiveness of sins. We have been reconciled. We have peace by the blood of his cross. And we are presently presented holy and blameless above reproach. I'm not getting into your complete in Christ in chapter 2. I'm not getting into chapter 3. You've been renewed in knowledge of him. Getting the new nature. I didn't get into any of that. Here's the thing. In 14 verses, 21 points on what you have instantaneously when you receive Christ as your Savior. Boom. Am I living my life today as if these are true? Am I living my life today, right now, not back then? Not what I want to do. Now, am I living my life right now as if these are true? They are true. Or else Paul wouldn't have said it. They're true. Am I living my life today as if these are true? Think about that. If you are, fantastic. Praise the Lord. I'm excited for you. Can you teach someone else these same 21 points on what they have? You're seeing an unsaved people, or they don't have an identity. They're unsaved. When someone gets saved, they need to be taught who they are in Christ, what they have in Christ. Because their thought process, even though they're saved, is still going back to how they've trained their brain. Right? Me, myself, and I. Me, myself, and I. Me, myself, and I. Their number one problem is taken care of. They're going to heaven. Thank God. That's the most common theme. There's three of them there on heaven in 14 verses. Three on heaven. But they need someone to come alongside them and say, hey, this is who you are. This is what you have in Christ. Forget about asking him for things for a second. Let's just look and see what you are possessed with. And this Spirit of God that's in you is going to be excited about these 21 things. He's the one that's empowering you to have these. He's the reason why you have them. He's in you. So when the Spirit in me hears and understands from my mind, my heart going in and processing it about what I have, I can do what Romans, I can do what Corinthians, in the Bible, I can do what Colossians 3 is saying, be renewed in my mind. That renewing is clearing out like renovation, but I'm putting something new in, who I really am. So many Christians have no idea who they are. And they're living unfruitful lives because they don't know who they are. They don't know what they have. They don't know. They're ignorant. There is a process. Again, God allows teachers, I'm almost done, to teach. He gives the gift of teaching so that this person here who has the same spirit as I do, but God's system, God's program is for a teacher to teach someone. Not everyone's going to read and go, I get it, I got it, I get it, I got it. If that were the case, there wouldn't be all these gifts to edify and grow. God has established a system to be done in decent and in order. So am I withholding information that I know so it doesn't benefit someone? Here's the kicker. It's not benefiting the person who I know God is leading me to invest in. I get that question a lot. Well, what should I do? Okay, is God placing someone on your heart, first of all? Well, yes. Go there. But I don't know what to say. Don't worry about it. Don't know what to say when you get there. Many times when people come asking me, hey, you know, I've kind of had this on my mind. That's the Lord. That's the Lord saying, this person, I want to use you to invest in this person. Then we start thinking, I can't do it. I don't know how to do it. I've never taught before. You're right. You haven't. If you were to see me 20 years ago, there is no way I will be speaking in front of people. I was a shy, quiet boy. Now I'm the exact opposite. Bob, are you giggling at me? I'm not now. Why? I personally believe, I can't prove this, but I personally believe that God gives you a gift that goes against your natural personality, what you're born with. This is what I believe. I can't prove it. Why? Because in that gift connects me to be relied on God. Not my personality, not what I'm comfortable with, what I'm born with. I'm uncomfortable relying on God to get me through it. I'm uncomfortable relying on God to get me through it. And as I rely on God more and more and more, the more and more comfortable I become. Why? Because I see God coming through these 21 points. There are hundreds more. I just haven't seen it yet in the Bible, where in 14 verses there's so much given to us instantly at salvation that God wants all of us to enjoy in the moment, if we want it. Am I living my life out now as if these are true? If not, you can. You can do it. I proved to you that you can. That's what He wants. I have to rely on Him and think only spiritually. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for being good to us today. Lord, I know it's kind of the opposite of the norm of how we usually teach, but Lord, I just felt like it was just coming off the pages to just brag about You. Just to see all the great things we have, and just a small little sample of 14 verses, the greatness of Your salvation, what we get when we receive Christ as our Savior. Man, it's amazing, Lord, to think about. It's humbling. What a privilege. would allow us, myself included, to meditate on these truths this week. Just to have our minds focused on the greatness of salvation, what comes with it, and just rest in that, Lord. Thankful for the folks that came out today, Lord. I ask that you would just meet them where they're at. And through this lesson, whatever they got going on in their life, that you would just speak to their hearts. And that as they listen, that you conform them to your image. These are your children, not my children. This is your church, not my church. Lord, I'm asking that you would allow them to grow in your wisdom and knowledge. They would rely more and more on you and be more and more in your image. Thank you, Father, for your love. We ask these in Jesus' name. Amen.